Blog Talk Radio.
Worship in the Most High in vain, for nothing.
because he says if we are not doing a certain thing or if we're in a certain condition, even if we believe in him and, you know, we are sincere, if we are not doing it the way that he wants it, then we are absolutely worshiping him in vain. Okay, for nothing, because it you know, it's not accepted with him. So, you know, we want to come out of our personal belief in some areas, in all areas, really. We need to believe what the scriptures say and believe when Messiah says that, you know, in vanity do they worship me, in vain. So we're going to get into that on today. I want to say welcome to everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general. Wherever you may be in the world, we greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Said, we are going to continue in this precept. And so I want to start this morning off with our statement of faith. I was getting ready to load these things up. Statement of faith should be there. But I also want to go over, again, our foundations of discipleship, because are things that we should absolutely keep in front of us, especially as we are getting into this series or have been into this series, you know, false salvation. Because, you know, it really mystified me, and it marveled me in my mind and in my heart that, you know, when you truly think about, you got people casting out demons, you got people doing miracles, you got people professing that they know Messiah, and he says to those people, get away from me, I never knew you. And so, you know, they are, you know, they truly have believed they had turned their lives over to Messiah, to believe that, you know, they were saved of the work that they had done. You know, they thought that they could probably demand entrance into the kingdom. But he says, you know, I never knew you. So we were going to continue to look into this particular aspect because it is, I really believe that the church today, the church, the body, but remember, these are believers, and they're in the body. But in the end, he's going to say, I don't know you. I never knew you. Okay, that is a rough saying, especially for your Savior, the one that you think saved you from your sin, for him to say, I never knew you. You've been up in here doing all these things in my name. You profess my name, and I never knew you. So that is scary. Think about it. That is scary. And so we're going to find out, you know, I'm going to say it, you know, to cut to the chase, but we're going to delve into all different aspects of this, from the Pharisees, not today, but over time, to, you know, the church itself, to our own individual walk, that we have to be very, very concerned with this and make sure that we are doing what the Most High said to do, that we enter in through the straight gate, the narrow gate. And the truth of the matter is that we come into 100% obedience to him. That's what this is all about. And so I was reading something on this morning, and it, you know, frame of mind of Cain and Abel. And why was one sacrifice acceptable and the other one wasn't? And these, both of them believed. They brought sacrifices. They bought offerings. They were believers. They believed in the Most High. The same scenario. So one, Cain has his own understanding, and Abel has his understanding. They both are believers. One is accepted and the other one rejected. One is accepted and the other one rejected. So we have to understand that and understand that he is able to discern the Most High. He's discerning the inner man. He's discerning the heart. So Abel has a philosophy, an understanding of what he's supposed to do, and Cain has an understanding of what he's supposed to do. That is the way the church is today. We have people who absolutely do not believe, and then amongst those that are supposedly in the body of Messiah, you got two groups of believers. Those that believe that they are saved and they are not, and those that believe that they are saved and they are. What is the difference between those two? So those are this is what we're really talking about, because you got people who they want to go by their own opinion. They want to go by their own understanding. And then they are in disobedience to the Most High. Disobedience. And this is what happened at the fall with Adam and Eve. Something else took over. Happened, and rather than worshiping the Most High from a spirit of truth and obedience, they started to worship the Most High from their flesh. So we're going to look at these things, because this is where the vast majority of Christianity is at today, worshiping the Most High from their flesh. Okay, and he wants us to worship him from the spirit, but we have to make our spirit right with him. And the only way to make your spirit right with him, to be converted, is by his word. So we'll get into this, because his word is sharper than any two-edged sword. He's saying that for a reason, able to cut asunder between the spirit and the flesh. There is meaning in that. It's not just there just to be saying or to describe his word. We got to understand how his word works. So we have to get back to the spirit, the spiritual being within us. And we have to correct what is wrong with it, because it's from our spirit being that we are disobeying. It's not our mind. Understand that. Yeah, you make some decisions, but what's really truly corrupted is underneath that, you, if you are a spirit. And to correct that nature in that spirit has to be dealt with. And it's dealt with by the word of the Most High and being obedient to it, being obedient to his word, even when we don't understand, even when we might personally, because I know some people that personally disagree with stuff. Got to move personal and self out of the way. So let us go ahead and start this thing this morning. We will probably not meet this evening. I will see what Yah says, but I think I need to dedicate that time after Sabbath to writing, or maybe we'll meet and we'll have a precept. I have to see what Yah says. I just know that I need to do more writing for what we're trying to do, and the lesson at the end of the Sabbath or after the Sabbath ends is not necessarily required. I've been doing them because I love, I just love being in the Word, time with the Most High, spending time with you guys. So we'll see what Yah says. All right, so let us go ahead and start this off by doing our statement of faith. Praying in. Let me have the ladies to cover their head. Men, uncover your head. Wherever you are at in the world, we greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you, and we lift you up, and we magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. And we bow down before you this morning, Father, in total submission to you and into your word, Father. And we just glorify you, for your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are not our thoughts, Father. But you are giving us your ways and your thoughts, Father, and we just thank you for it, that we might be corrected in the inner man, Father, in our spirits, Father, that have been corrupted by sin. So we just glorify you on this morning, Father, and we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for all that you have done for us. And we thank you for giving us a mind to be on you. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to keep your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you, O Israel, have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. He said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, turn your eyes and your ears back toward your people. Hear our supplication and our prayers to you. And deliver us out of this captivity. Now, Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all those that you have called in Messiah, that they would hear your voice, and that they would obey, and they would come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on today, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. Let us go to 1 Kings chapter 8, and I'm going to personalize this. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they sin against thee. No, let me stop that. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whither we were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of our enemies that carried us away captive, saying, we have sinned, we have done perverse, we have committed wickedness. Enter thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which I have chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee, and give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou brought us forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thy eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep the commandment is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 13, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 and 27. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 and 27, 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which Yah Elohim of thy father giveth thee to possess all the days you live upon the earth. Exodus chapter 20. The book of Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to get verses 1 through 8. I have 1 through 6 on the screen, but I want to do 1 through 8. Give me a hot second here. 20, verses 1 through 8. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Yah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of Yah, thy Elohim, in vain. For Yah will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 17. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. John 14 and 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his words. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. And on this morning, we are going to do our foundation of discipleship. So let me put that in the room. Foundations of discipleship for my service show. All right. Foundations of discipleship. We are always to keep before us. These are the things that will help us to straighten out our spirit. These are the things that will help us to walk in the straight and the narrow gate. These are the things that set the expectations so that we have the correct expectation that the Most High desires of us. And this is the only way that we are going to be able to enter in, that we're going to make it. Okay. So we know that a disciple is simply a student, one that's going to become like their master. In this case, in the case of Christianity or in the way, we're coming like Messiah. We're doing everything to become like him. And so we got to do what he says to do, to become like him. Okay, that is the goal for every saint, to become like our king and our brother, Messiah, our Savior. So Matthew chapter 13 and verse 9, who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, everybody's got ears, but everybody don't have ears to hear, to understand, to receive what they're hearing. Then he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, in verse 10, his disciples ask him a question, and we have to also understand this, that his disciples said, came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? How come you don't speak to them plainly? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you. He's speaking to his disciples to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. But to the masses, to them it is not given. This is to the masses. So everyday people, you know, they're not going to understand this gospel. And we have to have an open heart, and we have to be willing for the Most High to allow him to speak, to be obedient to his word. So it's not given to the masses, the understanding. People will come to an understanding, but it won't be true. It's not given to them. Okay. So you got to be of a certain heart. You got to be of a certain mind. And we're going to look at that this morning in our foundation as to what kind of heart we have to have. Drop down to verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Understanding has to be given to you by the Most High. Brother Miles can teach all he wants to. He can preach all he wants to. If the Most High doesn't give the understanding, Brother Miles can't make you understand. Okay, all that I can do is what I've been told to do. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. This is not just speaking to the nation of Israel, even though he was talking about the nation of Israel, but this is concerning his body. Everybody who hears the word as a whole. So the masses, everybody that comes to Messiah, that accepts him as their Savior, don't have understanding. They don't have truth. Unless they are pursuing the Most High with a pure heart, really wanting to know, desiring to know him, can't come to understanding. And their ears are full, are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. So we got to understand that this book is given to us, that we might have understanding. All we got to do is listen to what Messiah is telling us. We have to listen to it, we have to believe it, and we have to do it. Or else we'll be going into the wide gate. Okay? Go to Matthew chapter 6. So let's talk about these foundation thing as a saint, as a believer, you have to do. Seek you first the kingdom of Elohim and his righteousness, Elohim's righteousness, not our own, his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. If you seek the Most High first, then everything else that you need for your salvation shall be added to you. Everything that you need to walk according shall be added to you. But you got to seek him first. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. Again, Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. The book of Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, that which when a man has found it, he hides. And for joy thereof goes and sells all, gives all that he has, and buys that field. So this person, once he understands the kingdom, is willing to give up everything, sell their all to get the kingdom, to get in. Ain't nothing on this earth worth going to the lake. Ain't nothing on this earth more valuable than the Most High in his kingdom and getting into it. He reiterates this in verse 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So if you're not willing to give the Most High your all, he's not wanting it. Anybody that will not give their all, he doesn't want. We might think that we can get by, but this is this group of believers who think that they can just give him what they want to give him. And it's sufficient. But he's telling us over and over again, you got to give your all to me. I got to be priority, foundation. So the kingdom of the Most High has to be the most valuable thing in your life. So the Psalms chapter 119. We'll get two verses from there. Psalms 119 and 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. Got to give him your whole heart. You got to seek him that way. If you're not seeking him with your whole heart, then he don't have to accept you. And really what he's saying, he won't. We're going to read that when we get to Luke. If we're not giving him our whole heart, we are nothing with him. We got to understand that. Psalms 119 and verse 34. Psalms 119 and verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. If you got understanding and believe you don't have to keep his law, you don't have no understanding. If you got understanding and think that you can keep part of his law, you don't have understanding. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. This is what he wants. This is what he's going to have, and he's not accepting anything less. So it can't be second and third string in your heart. You can't have anybody or anything over him, before him, male or female. So let's read this. Go to Jeremiah, and then we're going to go to Luke 7. And I will give them a heart to know me. This is when we come to understanding that we got to keep his law. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yah, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. This is for Israel that is scattered. And when we hear the gospel, and when we understand that we have to return to the Most High in spirit and in truth with our whole heart, not a piece of us, but giving him our all. Luke chapter 14. Now let's listen to what Messiah said, because he don't mince words. If any man, Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 10, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yeah, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That is an absolute. Cannot. That's an absolute. So he says, hey, if you love anybody, even yourself, more than you love me, you cannot be my disciple. Verse 27, and whosoever does not bear his cross, is not willing to do whatever it takes and come after me, cannot be my disciple. He didn't say in either one of these cases that it makes you a poor disciple. He says, you cannot be. You can't follow me. I'm not your savior. Because you don't obey what I say to do. Now, verse 28. Again, this is the kicker, because I believe most people never do. They never do the other two. But really, I think you can't even do the other two until you understand verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower, sit not down first and count the cost whether he have sufficient to finish it? Did you sit down and consider what the Most High is asking you? What you have to give up? What you have to do? What is it going to take to give your whole heart? What in your heart do you place above him? Who in your heart do you place before him? Because you have to lose those things. They have to go. Or else they will hinder you and they will prevent you from being able to follow him. 29, least happily after he has laid the foundation, he is not able to finish it, not able to do the work. Yeah, I can't, you know, I didn't know it was going to take all this. Oh, it won't really take all that. Yah, he's a loving Elohim, and he's a forgiving Elohim. And he'll forgive my shortcomings. Not when he said, telling you what it takes. It'd be different if he never told you what it took, and he says, you know, give it your best effort. He don't say that at all. I want your whole heart. I got to be first in your life. Kingdom got to be the most valuable thing in the world to you. Or else you're not worthy of it. You cannot be my disciple, cannot belong to me. That's why we got these two different groups within the body. They're both believers. But everybody ain't ready to give or willing to give their whole heart. Everybody ain't ready to give their all. Everybody ain't ready to don't love the Most High more than they love themselves. They say these things, but in their heart of hearts, they really don't. Drop down to verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all he has cannot be my disciple. He doesn't mince words. Okay? And we need to believe what he says. So when we see that there's two groups of believers in the kingdom, two types of believers, each and every one of us has to make the personal decision, which type of believer are you going to be? So as review, seek Yah and his kingdom and first, and his righteousness in your life. Third, you must seek the kingdom with your whole heart. Fourth, you cannot love anyone, even yourself, more than you love the Most High Messiah. Five, you must consider the cost. Are you willing to pay the cost, pay the price? And you must be willing to give up everything to follow Messiah. Those are his words. We either believe them or we don't. Okay, but this is what we need to keep in front of us always, so that we walk according as he wants us to walk. We don't give our standard, because we might say, hey, me performing at 90% or 95% or 98%, that should be acceptable with the Most High. That should be good enough. So I can look at it and say, hey, I told you, I want your all, your whole heart. So either you are going to give me what I asked for, or you're going to be rejected. So those are our foundations of faith. And we want to make sure that we keep those in front of us always, so that we don't fall into the group of believers that we're believing false. Okay? The sounding of the shofar. Thank you.
person.
Continuing in all salvation, is it possible? This is part 8. And remember, in this precept that gives us his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his judgments, because these are his heart on these things. And he wants us to have his heart concerning how we deal with him and how we deal with our fellow man. And so when we are outside of his will, outside of the way that he does things, it's strange to him. Just like when, who was the two brothers, Nadab and Abihu, when they offered strange fire before the Most High. It wasn't that they offered a different type of fire. It was not at the time that the Most High had commanded that it should be done. They were not in obedience in exactly the way that he said to be in obedience to him. you shall burn this fire, this incense, at this time. And they saw the presence of the Most High come down. And they decided it was time to burn incense. And the Most High said, no, that's strange. Not what I ordered to be done. And he burnt them up. So he doesn't deal with us when we are strange to him. His nature is to destroy it. His nature is to wipe that out from before him. So we want to make sure that, you know, that we, our heart is to do what he says to do. When he says to do it, how he says to do it. In other words, to be in complete obedience to him. And so we have to learn what that is. Because if we're not in that way, then we are strange to him. And we don't want to be strange. So I want to deal with this concept or from the standpoint that it's a spiritual battle. And we know this. But we want to deal with this in a deeper way this morning because it's from our spirit that we should be worshiping him. It's also from our spirit that we're disobedient. Come. And it's not just our mind. Okay, it's not just your mind. That's not what the Most High is talking about. He's talking about the being you. You are a spirit. I am a spirit. We use these bodies in this environment. Feel the will of the Most High. But from the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, a different nature took over us. Okay, and it's that nature, it's the original nature before sin that we're trying to get back to. That we may worship the Most High truly from our spirit that is not corrupted, that has been cleaned up. See, what a lot of people don't realize is that when we expose ourselves to sin, when we expose ourselves to porn, when we expose ourselves to anything that is contrary to the Most High, those things get written in our spirit, not just your mind, but permanently in your spirit. And they influence the way that you act, the things you say. And so the Most High has to clean this up. And he said the way that he cleans it up is by his word. So we have to be reprogrammed. Because when we are corrupt, we process instructions from corrupt code. We're like a computer. Computer world, garbage in, garbage out. If your program is corrupt, no matter if you get good information, you will corrupt the information when you're processing it. Because there's corrupt code within the program. The computer could be fine. The hard drive is fine. The RAM, the memory is fine. The CPU, the central processing unit, is fine. But the programming is corrupt. So all the parts are there to do what it needs to do, but some corruption in the programming, some corruption in your spirit will process the information incorrectly. Formula might be saying 1 plus 1 is 2, but your code is saying 1 plus 1 is 3 or 4. So you put in good information, but the answer came back corrupt. So we've got to understand that we're dealing with a spirit, and that spirit within us, it's us. It's who we are as individuals. So let's go to Job chapter 32. The book of Job chapter 32. Verse 8. But it is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty giveth understanding. In the KJV, Let me bring up my other Bible here. Chapter 32. Your word may read this right way. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. If this was talking about breath, because, you know, we will hear people explain that the spirit in man, what the Most High blew into man, he did two things when he blew into man, into Adam. Adam was just a body. He was just flesh. There was no life in him. There was no spirit in him. But that word spirit is twofold. The Most High had to jumpstart his body by blowing the breath of life into him. Because we are living beings when we are breathing. How do we know when somebody's dead? They stop breathing. And if they stop breathing and they never start again, nothing in this body functions. If the heart is still pumping, eventually it will run out of oxygen and it will stop. The brain, if it lacks oxygen, it will stop functioning after 4 minutes. So the Most High had to jumpstart Adam at first, the body. And he became a living soul, a living body. But also at the same time, the Most High blew his spirit, the spirit of Adam, in there. Now, we get these things from our conception, but we don't get the breath of life until we come out of the womb. Before that, we're breathing liquid. So Adam didn't have a mother. His father is the Most High. Adam didn't come out of a womb. So the Most High had to jumpstart him. So he breathed into him the breath of life, jumpstarted the body, but he also at the same time breathed the spirit of Adam into Adam. And that was who Adam was, the individual. By the same token, he did the same thing to Eve, because when he put Adam to sleep and he took a rib out of Adam, formed Eve out of that rib, she did not have a mother. She did not come out of the womb. The Most High jump-started her the same way. Breathed into her nostril the breath of life. And he also at the same time injected her spirit into her. Breathed her spirit into her. Who she is. From that point on, Adam and Eve were using those bodies. And they were independent of the Most High. And they started to develop their own thoughts. And they started processing instruction they were receiving in that body. Adam was taught to till the ground, to name the animals. We sort of don't get what Eve was doing. Eve was at home. And Adam was teaching her on and off. I guess when he wasn't teaching the animals, he was teaching her. Adam was told that from every tree in the garden was good for food. But stay away from that one tree. Told that touching that tree would kill him. That if he ate from that tree, it would kill him. This is how I know Adam instructed Eve. And she simply repeated what she was told. If you touch that tree, it will kill you. Adam's trying to keep her from going near it. Don't even touch it. She processed that. But when she listened to the devil, when she listened to Satan, Satan had been talking to her. It wasn't just one conversation. Even though we have one conversation in the scriptures, it was more than one conversation. He didn't just come up and say, hey, you know, you can be like God, and she just bit that and ate it. He had worked on her. Drop a little hint here, drop a little hint there. Subtlety, that's why he said he was the most subtle of all the beasts. Let me just say some little things here, a little bit here. Let me get you to thinking a certain way. Let me corrupt your programming, you, to make you doubt. So you had to know when she touched that fruit and she didn't die, doubt entered in. And she processed that information as though Adam had lied to her. You didn't tell me the truth because I didn't die. And don't think that she just took from that tree and just bit. Put yourself in her shoes. You've been told that if you eat it, you're going to die. Anything that we are told something about, if we believe it, somebody tell you, hey, that banana there is rotten and it's no good. Don't eat it. If you believe them, you're not going to eat it. If you pick it up and see that it's firm, and you open it up, you don't see no rot, well, you lied to me. This ain't nothing wrong with this banana. And then you bite it and said, but yeah, I didn't tell you I injected it with arsenic. And you die. But you don't believe what they're saying because it looks fine. So with Eve, Adam said, hey, don't touch it. That wasn't an instruction from the Most High. That was an instruction from Adam. And so she's processing this information. And when she don't die, don't think she just took a big bite. Nibbled on it. Still here. Then she bit it. Now, according to the scriptures, when she bit it, that act of disobedience changed her. It changed her spirit. She now has a knowledge that Adam doesn't have. She has some understanding that Adam don't have. And I know that she had a conversation because the scripture says that Adam obeyed her voice. Well, when you read the scriptures, like she just turned around and said, here, eat this, and he ate it. But we read later that he hearkened unto her voice. He had some knowledge that she passed to him that he bit. And whether it was his love for her, he bit. And it says that he understood what he was doing. He was not deceived, where she had been deceived. He was not deceived. I know I'm going to die if I eat this. But you done already ate it. You're bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. So you die, I die. I'm not saying those were his exact words, but that had to be processed. But he's now, because he's in a state of disobedience, he's processing information incorrectly as well. He chooses to corrupt his coding. He chooses to corrupt his spirit. Maybe Eve showed him something. Now, this is me, Brother Miles, speculating. Maybe she showed him something. But she's got the knowledge of good and evil. He don't have that yet. You know, this is what this is for. And you see these two? That's what that's for, too. Don't know. But she told him something. He hearkened unto her voice, and he ate, knowing what the consequences were. But he did that from his spirit, not just his mind, not just his intellect. Because the Most High blew a spirit into him, and when the Most High blew that spirit into him, before he started experiencing things and being taught, he really had no knowledge. He's been taught, but also it's the spirit of him that's doing it. His flesh hadn't been corrupted yet. So we got to understand that after the fall, they are processing information differently. Processing it from their carnal mind rather than from their spirit. The spirit man, the real you. I challenge any of you to go look in the mirror and look into your own eyes. Some people can't do it. But look into your own eyes and ask yourself, who or what is using your eyes to look at you? What's using your eyes? Because you can take your eye out and give it to somebody else, and it'll work for them. Because you take it out of your body, don't make it stop working. It's like a starter in a car. You put take that starter out of one car and put it in a light car. It will start that car. Just a piece that's a spirit-used environment. So we got to understand that we are spiritual beings. We use these bodies to function in this environment that the Most High created us to live in. Nevertheless, we are spiritual beings. Okay, just like the angels are spiritual beings created by the Most High. His desire was to function in this environment, in this realm. That's why he created Adam. That's why he created Eve. Multiply in this world. Because I desire to walk in this world and to experience this world. And I'm going to do it through you. That's another lesson. Let us go to Proverbs chapter 20. The book of Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27. And the word of the Most High reads, the spirit of man is the candle of Yah. The spirit of man is the candle of Yah, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Not looking into your stomach. He's talking about your inner being, the inner man, the spiritual being. What that being actually really believes. See, because you can have knowledge and you can believe a certain thing, but you won't act on that because you're really not convinced of it. Okay, so you have the knowledge of some things, but you won't act on them because either it's not important enough to act upon or you don't really truly believe it totally, so I'm not really going to go down that path, whatever it is. And then there's some knowledge that we have, some things that we are convicted of, that we are convinced, that we act on, that we function out of. This is what the Most High uses the spirit to search for. What's truly in this individual? It's like our spirit is made to unite with the Most High spirit. That's why he gives us his spirit. Our spirit is made to unite with his. And it's supposed to be a two-way communication, a completing. But the problem is that when our code gets corrupted, we can't really speak to him and really understand everything that he sends us, but he's able to read us. We're not powerful enough. We don't have enough processing power to totally comprehend everything about the Most High. He didn't put that kind of power in us. So what he wants for us to process, we have enough processing power when we are united with his spirit to understand those things if our coding is not corrupt. And we can receive the instruction and do and process the code, process the information correctly and come out with the correct answer. But if our programming is corrupted by sin, write down S-I-N. This is really an acronym. Simple Instructions nullified. The simple instructions of the Most High said it not. We either don't process them correctly or we don't process them at all. We throw them behind us. I'm not using that. I don't believe in that. Well, I think this means this, so let me process it this way. But that's sin. Unless we're processing it correctly, we won't process it the way the Most High wants us to process it, and we will come up with corrupt, resent the simple instructions of the Most High nullified. Said it not. We don't do it, or we process them incorrectly. And we process them incorrectly from our spirit, the spirit man within us. Okay? The Most High uses the spirit to search us out. Let me run a diagnostic on this spirit. Functioning as I intended. What he uses our spirit for. Okay, and so we have to understand that to know that if our spirit is corrupt, we will process information incorrectly and we will come out with the incorrect result every time. But because it is our coding, because it is part of us, we will believe that we are not in error. And we have the word of the Most High to do an error checking on us, to be the result, and we're not seeing that result, then we got to know that our coding, our spirit is corrupt. Because if we use ourselves, we're going to pass the error check. Check these instructions, and you should come out with this answer. But if you don't have anything to check your coding against, you will believe that you got the right answer every time. Because it's you. So understand that the Most High uses our spirit that way. Let me see if the spirit is corrupt. Let me inject some code into it and see if the right answer comes out. And if the right answer don't come out, I know that this one is corrupt. Now, this is not even the precept on this morning. This is so that we can understand how our spirit works, because when it comes to salvation, if your spirit is corrupt by sin and you don't allow the Most High to clean your spirit up, you will process the information incorrectly. You will never come into a right relationship with him. You'll never do what he says to do, the way he says to do it. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting verse 21. Who knows that the breath of a man ascends upward and the breath of the beast ascends downward in the earth? Most High knows that. That's the way he designed it. But he's really, this breath that he's talking about our spirit. Animals don't go to heaven, what we consider to be heaven. We don't even go to heaven. But we do have a higher relationship with the Most High than the animals. Because the Most High never says anywhere in the scriptures that we're going to go to where he's at. Because we will be with him in spirit, but our environment that he gave us as mankind was this environment. The earth, the air, the water, here. But our thoughts and our relationship lead to him. He says, so in the end, I'm going to change this environment so that this body that you're in won't be able to survive here. If the Most High takes all the air off the planet, we can't survive here as men, as air-breathing entities. No oxygen, no air, we wouldn't survive. If he removes all the water, which he's going to do, from the earth, except for what's coming out of his throne. But everywhere else, there ain't going to be no water, only around the throne in that general area. Survive in anywhere else on the planet if he doesn't change. Everything that he created outside of the earth, he actually created that for us as well. But he says, not now. That's for the future. What you're going to travel is the heaven, the space, the universe that I created. And you're not going to have to take you. Because you won't need it. I'm going to make you eternal. I'm going to make it to where you don't have to have water and air. Where you can exist in the vacuum of space. Because you don't need water. You don't have blood that's going to freeze. And you can travel the stars. Man trying to do it with vehicles. Man-made machines. But that's not what the Most High's will is for us. So we got to understand that there's some things that are coming. That's why he says we can't imagine what he has in store for us. Ecclesiastes chapter, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Saying that you as an individual use the flesh that you're in. That flesh is not you. Else, if they cut off your hand and gave it to somebody else, that hand that they gave to somebody else that came from you would do what you wanted it to do and not them. If you, you know, you donated your eye or you donated your kidney, your heart, whatever the case may be, and our bodies reject certain organs from other people. But it's not because they were only, you know, it's rejection because there's not something that's not compatible, type or whatever. But if they can overcome those incompatibilities, that heart, that limb, that kidney will function in that person and do what they were designed to do. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man? The inner you. Your brain is like the hard drive in a computer. And it's like the central processing unit in a computer. But do you know that your heart also is a computer? And your heart, the beating heart in your chest, has brain cells. They're just now discovering this. Has brain cells, and it also thinks. And it actually thinks more than your physical brain. Even so, the thoughts of Elohim no one knows except the spirit of Elohim. So in order to know what Elohim knows and to think the way that Elohim thinks, he says you must be born of his spirit. That's not just to read his scriptures and to get his mind through the scriptures. We are physically designed. Our spirits are physically designed, if we could see them and touch them, to be united with the spirit of the Most High, the way we were created. This is what he removed from Adam and Eve when they sinned. I will not always strive with man. I'm not going to always be in man. I'm taking that part of me out of man to with him. Then I'm going to pour out my spirit back onto man. Because this is where he wanted to be from the very beginning, inside of us. But the Most High is holy. And he can't dwell in a place that is unclean. He won't. So we want to know his thoughts. Our spirit man knows the thoughts of our heart, our real heart, and our pumping heart. What is in the spirit itself, it knows. And subconsciously, consciously, some of those things we don't even know about ourselves. Don't know why we process certain information, why we feel a certain way. We just know we do. So we process information from that inner man. And if that's corrupt, it will manifest itself in the physical man, in his actions. What he will and will not do, what he will and will not believe. This is what we're dealing with, and this is what salvation is about. It's about you being good. It's not just about you obeying the commandments of the Most High. You got to start there. Those commandments are designed to rewrite your code and to correct the error, to erase bad sectors in your spirit. To erase those things so that you can process the information correctly, so that you can receive life. So right now, the way our spirits are processing information, we do things that bring us death. Yes, we are dead in trespasses and sin because we're processing the information incorrectly. Our spirit is telling us, hey, it's okay to do this. Even though our coding should say, no, we don't do that. That's a sin. That's transgression. That is an error. We process it anyway, incorrectly, and we believe that we are correct because we're not using the word of the Most High as an error check. So, let's keep on going. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, the verses are leading us to this, but we have to understand it in its entirety in order to affect change. In order to, you know, be corrected. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. For you have been bought by the blood of Messiah with a price, by his blood. The Most High is an Elohim of blood. He's an Elohim of light, but he seals things that he does with blood. I purchased you with blood. I purchase you with life. In the blood is the life of a thing. To the life of Messiah with his blood. Therefore, glorify Elohim in your body. That glorifying means to worship him in spirit and in truth, in obedience. In obedience, in complete obedience. Processing the instructions correctly. Not from a corrupt spirit. Born again. I need to correct your spirit. I need to correct the corrupt coding that your spirit is using to process the information I'm giving you. Because the coding you have will make you be disobedient. The coding you have, and it's complex coding. You're trying to do it with AI now. Artificial intelligence. And just like with AI or with man, if the root engine of the AI becomes corrupt, it will process information incorrectly too and won't know it. So man is going to have to come to a, he's going to try to be like the Most High. You have to find out the hard way. You don't mess with these things. Because as soon as your computer starts outthinking you and sees you as the virus, sees you as the problem on the planet, it might try to wipe you out. Again, another lesson to where we're headed. Okay, trying to be Elohim. So we have to understand that we were bought with a price and that we belong to him. And what that truly means. I need to rewrite your coding. You are processing information incorrectly, and I need to install a new module in you, my spirit, to correct that. But my spirit is not going to override you if the logic within your spirit has not been corrected to be obedient. Because the Most High is not trying to create automatons or robots. He has given us freedom of choice. But we got to understand the root problem. We were corrupted. What was corrupted? Our very core was corrupted. Can't get help if you're not willing to admit and accept that you were corrupted. What part of you were corrupted? You know, my central processing unit, my brain, my heart, my spirit, I've been corrupted. Got to be willing to allow the Most High to correct it, because he's not going to just correct us. We learned that. We have to do some work by being willing to do the work. But you got to know what you're working on. You know, you're just doing stuff just to be doing it. You know how that's going to work out. Well, why are you working on the front door? Why are you fixing the lock on the front door when it's a back door lock that was broke? Well, somebody just said the lock was broke. I thought it was the front door. No, it's the back door. You're fixing the wrong thing. Hope we can get this. Hope we can understand it. Okay. So there is spirit with us, and that's what the Most High wants to deal with. Our spirit. The real us, who and what we are. He says, that flesh I can repair. That's just flesh. That's just like to me, like a car part. I can regenerate that flesh easy, but it's your spirit. The free part of you that I want to correct. Part of you, the part of, that I gave free will, I want to correct. And if you don't want help, Most High says, okay, I'm not going to force you to receive help. I want those that want me. I want those that love me. And every model that I put out don't necessarily love me. Trying to make this where we can, you know, put the natural and the spiritual together so that we can come to a better spiritual understanding. Most I need to work on our spirit, who and what we are. That is separate and apart from your mind. Something underneath your mind. Your spirit uses your mind. It actually gives it its value. So you're dealing with a part of you that, they call it the subconscious in a lot of ways. And if we can understand it from the subconscious, then so be that. but that's what's corrupt. Man calls it the subconscious. The Most High says it's your spirit. It's you. It's doing what you are. Doing what you become. And when we are, you know, when we come into this world and we're corrupt from the beginning, think about it this way. If you got corrupt programming from the very beginning, how in the world can you process good instruction? Since you will process it corruptly from the beginning. And from the beginning, your answers will be corrupted, but you won't know it. To you, it just is right. It seems right. I keep coming up with this answer. But then you're getting input from the outside saying, your answer is not right. So it seems right to me. This is the way, you know, I process. This is what I come up with every time. So unless we recognize what sin truly is, we can't be fixed. We will never process those instructions correctly. And we will think that we are. That's why all those people were saying, Lord, Lord, did we not heal people in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do wondrous works in your name? Because they didn't allow the Most High to deal with what really needed to be dealt with. They tried to do it from a carnal mind. Tried to do it from corrupt code. Because somewhere inside, in their spirit, the spiritual heart of them that really needs to be changed was never changed. Cold and hard. But their intellect told them, hey, I need to be good. I need to do these things. So outwardly it appears that I'm this way, but inwardly there was no change. The coding never got changed, but the coding said, hey, we can look like we're working okay. But the Most High says, nope, I know if I put in an instruction, fool me with, I can't be fooled. It's like encryption, if you're familiar with how encryption works. Encryption. You can encrypt a file and put a key on it, a certain type of key on it. And unless you have the key, you can put in, you know, any type of other key, and you'll get an answer back, but it will never be the correct answer. You will never unlock the file to get what's really there. You'll get something. And it may not make sense, but when you have the correct key, and only the correct key will allow it to be translated correctly, will you get the correct answer? You can try all these keys. You say, well, you know, that don't make sense, or, yeah, that makes sense. That's what it's saying. But if you don't have the correct key, you will never really know. That message was saying this. But I interpreted it to be this. Hope I'm making sense. Okay. So now, let's talk about how in vain people worship him. Okay. Because when we are processing information incorrectly, then the actions that we take are not acceptable with the Most High. That's not the answer I'm looking for. And you're doing everything, you're processing sincerely. Your CPU is hard at work. You're pulling information off your brain, off your hard drive, and you're processing it. But look what you're doing. And your coding might even tell you, you don't have to keep the laws of the Most High. I can just be good. I can feed the hungry. I can love my brother as myself. I can do these things that the scriptures say I ought to be doing to be good, obey the laws of the Most High. I can make up my own law. I'm a sentient being. This is what seems right to me. But contrary to the Most High, but it seems right to you. So when we are looking at the scriptures and they are saying, did we not do all these things in your name? And he says, get away from me. They missed something. They are worshiping the Most High in sincerity. They believe they are truly doing the right thing, and it must be because they're doing these miracles in his name. They're doing these works in his name. But guess what? Guess who else can also allow you to perform miracles? Allow you to do things that look like they're from the Most High. Your adversary, the devil, Satan. Realize that Satan could not have offered Messiah anything that he was not able to deliver to Messiah. If you will bow down to me, I'll give you all these kingdoms of the earth and all the riches that go with it. Satan can give you riches. Satan can perform miracles. Satan can heal people. Know this. They choose to worship him. But if we are in sin and we're not choosing Satan, but we believe that we are performing miracles by the Spirit of the Most High, when the Most High says, I never knew you, then who are they actually performing these miracles by? Yeah, you did those things and you used my name, but I didn't know you. I never knew you. And he says it comes out of disobedience. In their mind, they're processing and saying, hey, I'm doing good. But I don't have to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. I'm doing good. Okay. Messiah never told them that they didn't do those miracles. He never once denied to them or said, you didn't do anything. He does not contradict them. He don't say, you know, you claim to do these things. No, you didn't. He doesn't say that they didn't believe. They believe. They're believers. He doesn't say they didn't have faith. I believe if I say this, if I do this, then it's the result I'm going to get. He doesn't deny that they used his name, that they did these things in his name. They didn't say, no, you didn't do it. You didn't use the right name. Whatever name you're convinced of, he didn't say, you didn't use the right name. You didn't do it in my name. He doesn't say that to them. He doesn't deny that the works were done. You were doing this. He says, yeah, you did that. You did it in my name. Something else is wrong. So he doesn't tell them what they did was wrong. What he says is, you don't have a relationship with me. If the relationship is not with him, then who is it with? Think about this. Because see, we will believe that we can be blessed in certain ways, and because we believe we are blessed in certain ways, we will automatically believe that it's from the Most High. But if we're not doing what he said to do, it's not coming from him. Your adversary can play with your mind, can make you believe that what you're doing and what you're receiving is from the Most High when you're in walking in disobedience to the Most High. If you can't see that, because the coding that you are telling you that is the Most High. That's the way it got interpreted. That's the way it got installed in you. So we'll believe that that's the Most High telling us to do this and to do that, saying, you didn't do that for me. You did it for me and you thought it was for me, but you weren't doing it for me. I didn't know you. I never knew you. And you're worshiping me, following are the doctrines of men. You have missed the message. You have created a doctrine in your own mind. And you have missed the message. The true salvation. You have missed life. You are doing, even though it appears to be good, you're going to receive death. Get away from me. I never knew you. Because you really didn't submit yourself to me. You never really got my heart because I gave you my heart, my statutes, my laws, my commandments, my ordinances, my judgment. This is my heart on these things. This is all that you can take. And if you do this, you do well. So they missed something. And it had to do with how their spirit, because they were not born, truly born of the Spirit to come into a relationship with him. Looks like they were, sounds like they were, their actions saying, yeah, I belong to the Most High, only to find out that they don't. Going through the motions, believing the doctrines of men over the commandments of the Most High. So when they said they did these things, he never says, no, you didn't do those things. He never denies them, that they did these things in his name. He don't deny that. His answer to them, his rebuff of them is, I never knew you. I don't know you. High above everything, he wants obedience. If you obey my voice indeed in what you do, in everything that you do, obey my voice. Hear what I'm saying to you and do it. And do it with the outcome that I want. And the only way that you're going to do it correctly, it is that you allow me to rewrite your code. The only way you're going to know that if you are doing what's correct is to know what the expected outcome is. And it doesn't come overnight. Some things take a lifetime. It comes to the understanding where he says, you can understand this. Some code is so corrupt. But if you stay on it, if you stay trying to correct it against the word of the Most High, then it can be changed. It can be corrected. Entire point of the scripture they miss. I need you to be in relationship, true relationship with me. I need you to have my heart. That means being obedient to my command. The commands I'm entering in you. The commandments. I need you to be obedient to those. I need you to process them correctly. So they did not realize that their quote-unquote doctrine was the doctrine of men. Their work, even though they look like good work, besides that they are iniquity. Your works are stemming out of lawlessness. So you have to ask yourself, who were they really following? That they were following Messiah. He says, but if your works are not coming out of the right coding, if your works are not coming out of that, then I don't care what your works are. It is iniquity. It's iniquity. So, you know, if you put yourself in those people's shoes and imagine yourself before the throne of the Most High, and you say, didn't we do these things in your name? And you plead your case. We did these miracles, and we preached, and we prophesied much in your name. And on that ground that you did those things, you demand entrance into the kingdom. I need to be able to get in. I deserve to get in. I did everything you said to do. What my programming said. That's what my inner man believed. Because you were taught that you didn't need to obey his commandments. Just be good. You don't have to obey. Like these two things are separate. They're apart. They're not. The commandments of the Most High are designed to correct what is in error in us, in our thoughts, in the reason that we process information a certain way. And when we are outside of that, we might come up with this, yeah, but you came up with it with corrupt code, and I don't want corrupt code. Because you'll come up with the correct answer this time, but the next time, I don't know what might come out of you. I should get the same answer over and over and over again. But I don't with you. Because the underlying code is corrupt. I pray we can hear this. So you're doing these things. You might look like you're pious, or you might look like you are holy, when you're not, and it from another value. You're processing it not from his instruction, not from the way that he actually wants you to be processing it. So this actually goes deeper than just being born again. And there's no way that these people could not have known that. I got to be born again. Am I truly born again? Did I truly receive the Spirit of the Most High? Or am I processing this from my carnal mind, using my intellect, and I see what it's saying. So let me do that. Says, oh, this one is a, looks like a good. This one is a good imitation. This one has mimicking code. It mimics what the saints, the true saints, do. But my spirit is not there. I'm not there. So their actions look like they are doing the correct thing. Their actions look like they have truly been saved. I never knew you. You have been worshiping me from the doctrines of men. You have been believing the doctrines of men rather than my instruction, rather than my commandment. Somebody has malformed your code and made you believe that with your coding will come up with the correct answer. Spirit behind the code. It looks like it's the Most High, but he says, that wasn't me. And so then you have to look at self. You have to look at self. How am I coming up with this answer? Say, I never knew you. So these people, at one time, they were unbelievers. They hadn't heard about Messiah. They believed. They had been converted from non-believers to believers. Truly following the Most High. Were they processing from his command? Or are they saying, you know, I can ignore that command. I don't have to do that. That command don't apply to me. Something somewhere has gotten corrupt. So even in their worship, they're worshiping him in vain. He tells us the root of that. Get that scripture. So they're doing everything, and it appears that they are, you know, everything that the word says they're supposed to be. They believe it. You can tell them that they're not. So let's look at how Messiah answers these people. See the real understanding to what's wrong. Their faith is in the wrong thing. If indeed they be in the faith, the answer will show in the nature of the deception. If they got to understand that it's possible that I've been deceived. That my understanding is not truly 100% correct. It might be that I have not actually entered into a relationship with Messiah. Am I being told to do these things? And I believe what I'm being told, but I never allowed myself to enter into a correct relationship with him, a real relationship with him. Because you got to, you know, if he said he never knew you, how could you ever have been in relationship with him? With them. That's what we have to contemplate. I never knew you. And your work, all those good works that you said were good works, you are a worker of iniquity. This all stems from them not obeying him. Thinking that they're obeying him, but they're not obeying him. I don't have to keep his laws. Son, you might believe you have to keep his laws, but don't really believe that you have to be born of him again. That you have to actually receive the Spirit of the Most High. I can do these things and be good if I do them. Most High says, still not processing the information correctly. You realize, still don't realize that you have to enter into this relationship with me. I designed you that way. So if your mind and your spirit won't let you do it, you're none of mine. You're doing these things, but you're trying to be good in and of yourself. And when you think something is no longer, quote unquote, valuable to you, no longer necessary for you, not important, you'll stop. When my nature just will never stop. Just be just the way I am. It's like, if the program is good, then this is going to always happen this way. This is going to always be the rationale for it happening. And it won't change. But if it's not of him, and it's of your carnal mind, when your mind changes, it will also change. And the reason that you're doing will also change. So they never really came into the correct union with him, the correct relationship with him. But they wanted to believe they did. They were told that they did. Came up out of the water, you got the Ruach HaKodesh. You got the Holy Spirit. But somewhere in their inner man, something didn't happen. Stop here. There's some words that I'm going to use in this next lesson. When we can't continue to talk about the vanity, worshiping him in vain. Because when you worship the Most High in vain, it says that you're worshiping him for nothing. For nothing. You think you're going to receive something, but you're worshiping him for nothing. But he gives a label to these believers. The word that he used. I want to show us in the scripture. Because he talks about it in the law. And he talks about it from a natural perspective of a bastard child. And a bastard child is one that his mother played whoredom. And the child was born without knowing or the father being there. Don't know who the father is. Not that he had a father and their father died. Man either does not claim the child or was never there. And he calls him a bastard. And he says the bastard cannot enter into the congregation. We're going to look at that from the standpoint of the kingdom. That's what he was pointing at. His laws on the earth point toward his laws in the heavens. And he says, if you have not entered into the straight and narrow, if you have not walked down that path of his chastisement, his correction, then you ought to be doing the right thing. You ought to be doing things correctly. So he says, what father doesn't chastise their child? He says, and if I haven't chastised you, then are you bastard? I didn't chastise you because I didn't know you as one of mine. I didn't correct you because you didn't allow me to enter in. You didn't actually allow me through your will to father you. And you might say you did, but you didn't. And so, in your heart of hearts, you want to believe that I belong to the Most High. I'm one of his children. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You're not one of mine. We don't want to be. We don't want that to be us. If it is us, if we know that it can be corrected, then we ought to be doing whatever it takes to be corrected, and perhaps he will receive us. Perhaps he will receive us if we are not in the correct relationship with him. Form of disobedience in us. You see, the Most High doesn't do disobedience. Because it'll cost you your life every time. So we'll look at this on the next time, probably next week. We will finish up with you worship me in vain, but we will go into this aspect of this, are you a spiritual bastard? But he calls it, he says that. You say I'm your father, but I ain't your father. And you don't even claim your own father, whose works you're doing. You don't obey me. I'm your daddy. You don't even obey me. And don't believe you have to obey me. As long as you feel like you're doing right, you're all right. Not in relationship with the Most High. This is the problem. So we'll continue to look at this because, you know, this is many people in the body. He says most will be in this condition. Having never found the straight gate, the narrow way, programming corrupt enough that they can believe that they are. And when I send them correction, when I send them my word, when I send them somebody to tell them, their programming, their spirit will shut it down. I ain't trying to hear that. My salvation is sure. Yeah, I know I'm not doing all those things, and I don't obey every commandment perfectly. I don't even think they all apply to me. And I would rather be keeping holy days that worship other deities than keeping the holy days of the Most High. That right there is a sure sign. Why would you celebrate holy days that are associated with other deities and you don't have no other God? But because this is the way you were programmed. What we were programmed to love. We could even know it's wrong in our mind. But we won't altogether give it up. And we'll even allow our children to continue in it. Because that's what the world is doing. We've got to understand that he's saying, hey, that's not me. and you say that you know me, you say that you love me, you say you believe in me, you're doing these works in my name, but I don't know you. Think about those things. Meditate on them. Examine yourself, because we don't want to be in the group of unbelievers. We don't want to be with the masses. And the chances are, we with the masses, we are wrong. If the vast majority of the people got this wrong, they're entering into the, if all people enter into the wide gate and a few find the narrow gate, why would we follow everyone else? Why would we be in agreement with everyone else? And I'm not saying everyone be in agreement with totally everything. I'm talking about being in agreement that, you know what, that's okay. You worship that way, I'll worship this way. We believe on these things, and we can agree on these things. And where we differ at, thing, and I'll do mine. The key in those is you do your thing, and I'll do mine. When it's got to be about what does the Most High want. So we see these people. The Most High says, you're illegitimate. You claiming to be my child, but you are illegitimate, and I don't have illegitimate children. My children are not bastards, and I chastise mine. I take care of mine, and I chastise them. I correct them. Truly rebellious, after I'm correcting them, they won't receive correction, and I will turn them over to a reprobate spirit. Reprobate means rejected. I called you, I sent you correction, but you wouldn't be corrected. You are a reprobate. And so we don't want to be reprobate children. We don't want to be rejected by the Most High when he says, I sent you correction, and you wouldn't receive it. Terribly wrong in your programming. You can't be debugged. And I'm not going to do it for you. You can't be debugged. Permanently flawed. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, Father, we want to be your obedient children. We want to walk in all your ways. Not from the spirit of deception. Not because we just want to do it, but Father, we want you to want us when we are in error. And we want you to put the spirit of correction in us that we would receive it. And that we would do your will. Put a right heart within us. I'm going to play this song again. Listen to the word that is powerful. Powerful. We need a new heart. We need a new spiritual heart. We need the heart that the Most High intended for us to have, that he gave to Adam from the beginning, before this flesh got in the way. This is what Messiah came to correct. He says, few there be that find it. These people that he's talking to, these believers, they truly believe that they were saved, still not recognizing that they were broken. Thank you. I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep His commandments. Thanks. Shalom and enjoy the rest of your day. Look for an email on what we're going to do for this evening, whether it's a business meeting after Sabbath or whether it will be another lesson. I'm not sure yet. Amen.
You you created the world and the universe and everything that lives and breathes. You made it happen with just words. You have no beginning and you have no ending. I think it's amazing. It's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth. Shabbat, I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient, hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you
Brother Miles, Shalom, Sister Lorraine. Happy Sabbath.
Everyone, have a good day.
Shalom, family. Peace and blessings to you all. See you guys on this evening, maybe.
Okay.
I will let you know.
Okay.
All right. Shalom.